Hello, members of the Lasting Supper. This is David Hayward. Welcome to Meet a Member Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Christine Marietta. She's a therapist living in San Francisco, California, and she's a member of the Lasting Supper. Hi, Christine.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. It works? You can hear me and I can hear you?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't it work?
Well, I've never done the just audio, and I'm glad because I'm still picking food out of my teeth from breakfast. So.
Okay.
So I'm glad.
That's good to know. Leftovers.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's 2 o'clock here. It's what there at 10.
It's 10, yes.
And you're just having breakfast.
Well, I'm having second breakfast. I woke up at 6.
Uh-huh.
And I ate whatever. That's boring. We don't need to talk about that. But for some reason, I feel like I really need to let you know that I've been up for 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pride thing.
It is.
I know all about it because I'm an early riser too.
Yeah. Well, you have an excuse. You're not in your, 20s or 30s.
Hey now. This is the first time we've ever talked and you're already insulting me.
Well, I feel like I know you.
Yes, that's true. I feel like I know you too. Yeah, that really appreciate you taking some time to talk with me today. And I really love your...
But mostly the... expectation of vulnerability that seems to be there when you join the community, that's kind of what we're all based on. And that's just stunning to me.
It's really
stunning.
Yeah, it is unusual. I really appreciate that too. For myself, even, just going there and being able to just pour myself out and, not worry about getting whatever happens online.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, yesterday I unfriended somebody and blocked them on Facebook. I haven't done that very often, but I did with this guy. So, but
nice.
I don't do that on the Lasting Supper. Or no, I take that back. I did once.
Really?
I kicked somebody off. Yeah, you shouldn't have been there.
Okay. Yeah. I wondered if that was ever either happened or was going to happen.
Well, we've been going on a year, and that was one person who just didn't fit and made everybody know it. And so wasn't appropriate. But the guy on Facebook last night was starting to utter kind of like death threats, but it was all cloaked in religious language, like, I see God's going to take your life soon and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, well, I don't need friends like that.
Oh, my. Yeah, you don't need anyone like that.
No.
Oosh.
Anyway, enough about me. Tell us a bit about yourself. This is like meet a member kind of thing, let people know a little bit about yourself. And
sure. Okay. What's the least boring version? I am.
Oh, come on. You're not boring.
No, I know, but I'm not boring because I'm perpetually worried about being boring. So I put a lot of effort into not being boring. Yeah. So I'm in my early 30s. What I say in my blog profile is I'm a progressive Christian feminist therapist. So breaking that down, I did a master's program in counseling psychology that I finished a couple years ago. That was really life-changing for me. And I did it at a Christian seminary. So while I was studying this stuff around human psychology and human development and all these theories, I was also encountering feminist theology for the first time.
Okay.
So it's fun because with the feminism thing, my way into feminism was through Christian feminist theology. So my feminist friends don't get that, and my Christian friends don't get the feminism thing.
What kind of a college was it? It's not your typical kind of evangelical Christian college, is it?
No, it's just a graduate school. It only offers 2 degrees. I think there's a couple. I think you have a member or two who actually went there, but it's called Seattle School of Theology and Psychology.
Oh, yeah. Rana went there, and Ashley and some others, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll ask you later because I want to know who the people are. I thought I saw it mentioned once or twice.
Yeah.
It just offers, it trains pastors and therapists. So you can get a counseling psychology degree or an MDiv.
Okay.
And there's a lot of crossover and conversation. And I think this is pretty common in a lot of Christian schools is that the student body is leaps and bounds more progressive than the, people who fund it and the donators. So there's some tension there. It's not. It has an evangelical foundation, but also the student body doesn't reflect that. So I'm not sure where to place it on the spectrum.
Uh-huh. So you graduated from there already?
Yes. Sorry. I started telling a story and I'm
throwing up. Okay. That's what I'm here for.
So I graduated 2 years ago. So my passion lies at that intersection between therapy and psychology and feminism, feminist thought, and Christian theology. Okay. That's kind of where I make my home.
Well, it seems to me you're still studying though, aren't you?
Oh, I'm glad it seems to you that way, because I don't want to ever be not studying. But no, I'm practicing now.
Oh, okay. You're in full practice?
I'm in going into full practice. It's a career that it just takes a while to get off the ground. And where right. I live, there's too many therapists. It's a saturated market. So I'm working toward.
You could move up here.
Oh, do you need us?
Yes.
You need therapists?
Yeah.
I would love to.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, okay. You're
in California, aren't you?
I am. I'm in San Francisco.
Yeah, see, I'm all the way at the Northeast. I'm above Maine.
I know. I was surprised that there's a time zone that's 4 hours ahead of me.
Yeah, well, actually, if you keep going east in Newfoundland, that's 4.5 hours.
Okay.
So you're ramping up into full-time practice. You're jumping through all the necessary hoops. Is that what you're saying? Or are you building up a clientele?
Yep, that's exactly right. There's a licensing process, so that's the hoops, and there's building up clientele.
Okay.
I'm doing both, and I think a lot about, I don't know if I want to ever do it full-time in the sense of like 40-ish hours a week, because it feels like I can't really care for a big client load the way I could care for a smaller client load.
Yeah, of course.
Having been a participant of therapy for a long time, I really want my therapist to be thoughtful about how they, you know, approach me and how they work with me. And I don't want to feel like I'm one of 30 people they're seeing that week. And
yeah, exactly.
And half of them are in crisis. So I'm not sure. I'm still figuring out how to make my life work, but.
Right. You visit churches, is that right? Or do you go to one regularly?
I go to a church.
Now, when I start crossing over any lines or whatever, you just let me know. You say, whoa, buddy. That's
okay. No, yeah. My lines are pretty far out there, and I won't be shy about telling you if you do get close to them. No, I go to a church. So I moved to San Francisco from Seattle. That's where I did my graduate school 2 years ago. And I did all this deconstructing, and I left my church, and there were really good people at my church. So it wasn't like super easy to leave. I mean, it's never easy to leave, but they're just genuinely good people. But the theology and the service was not okay with me in a lot of ways. So when we knew we were moving to San Francisco, I kind of was telling friends one of these things. It's a joke, but not really a joke, where I'd say, if I can't find a church in San Francisco, California, that is progressive enough for me to feel okay in, then that is the end. Like that is the last stop on the train, and I'm done with church.
Yeah.
So I moved down here, and I did find this church that's, on the one hand, wonderful, very LGBT affirming.
Right.
Yeah, big part of our congregation are LGBT people, and just laid back, and I love it. And it's an Episcopalian church, so it comes from this old European patriarchal tradition. So it's not perfect, but I love it at the same time.
Oh, cool. I love your blog. I love your writing.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that. What kind of a journey are you on there?
Yeah, I don't know how long you've been reading it.
I heard about it through some other members, like Starfielder and other people, Pam Werner.
Yeah,
they'd been reading your stuff, and I don't know how they came across you.
Pam a few months ago.
I
got to have coffee with Pam in Southern California a few months ago.
Yes, I know.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So I started, I have kept blogs for years, and where it started to get really meaty was when I started studying feminist theology in graduate school, because I finally had really specific language to describe why I was so fucking angry all the time. Can I say fuck?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Awesome, because I do a lot. So feminist theology gave me this language of like, oh, it's not about my sinfulness. It's not about me having a pride issue, like all this bullshit that I was, you know, believed. It gave me like real language about how just women have different expectations around them, and especially how that applies to religious language.
Right.
So, okay, what question am I answering? Oh, about my blog. Okay. I'm going to go on a little tangent, but so
I love tangents.
Okay, great. The first bit of feminist theology I read is from a book called She Who Is by Elizabeth Johnson. And it was talking about religious experience. And the language she used was conversion, but not in the evangelical sense of like, I have now converted, but the process of kind of change and
right, transformation.
Transformation, that's a better word. And she said, religious language is often, we talk about transformation in terms of loss of self and humility and loss of pride, but that language is only useful for people who have erred on the side of too much power, too much ego, too much pride. Right. And most women's experience is that we grow up being told that our identity exists in other people, that if people don't like us, then we're worthless. Like, we don't have self, we have diffuseness.
Right.
So I read that, and I think I wrote about this on my blog, so this might be a repeat story for you, but my husband was out of town, and I called him at 11 p.m., and I woke him up, and I said, are you sitting down? But obviously he was, because I woke him up, and I said, I have something to read to you that I don't know what to make of this, but I know it's something huge. So that's when I feel like my blog got kind of meaty, because I started writing about, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? How is this going to look in my life going to church? And what does it mean for me as a developing therapist, especially if I work, I mean, with women, but with Christian women.
What's the title of that blog post?
Oh, it might be an old one. Hang on.
Your blog, what's your website name?
Oh, it's ChristineMarietta.com. That's Christine Marietta, Marietta.
Okay.
Thank you so much for asking. The blog post is In Jack's Absence. I wrote about that.
In Jack's Absence.
Yeah. So it'll be just pages and pages back in the archive.
Yeah. But... Well, you got a search though on there, don't you?
Yes.
Good. So, I didn't read that, but I'd like to read. So you say you should be sitting down when I read this to you. Why, in a nutshell?
I think partly...
Was it you sort of staking your claim, or what?
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because Jack is very much a feminist now, and then he was very, like, he was then too, but it felt like we'd been married 4 years at that point, three or four. And I had always kind of been one way. I thought, like, the way I needed to be as a wife is, I never really bought into, like, submission, but, like, how would I describe it? Like, I had a lot of constant fretfulness and anxiety about, is Jack okay with me? If Jack's not okay with me, then I'm not okay.
Right.
So presenting this new way of being of, like, I didn't know how to articulate it at the time, but saying, Jack, I'm going to be learning about my own self, whether or not you approve of it. And I kind of need to know if you're willing to be along for that ride. So I didn't have language for all that yet, but I knew, like, I wanted him to be sitting down, because if he wasn't going to react well to this, then it was going to be a big problem.
Wow. That's really cool though.
Thank you.
That takes a lot of courage. There's not many people I've talked to a lot of people who feel they need to do something like that, but just don't find the courage to do it, because there's just, like you knew at the time, it was a huge risk to take.
And I was able to do it because I also had a sense of how Jack would be with it.
Right.
And I imagine people who are quote unquote, like, not courageous enough to do it, it's because there's a sense that it might not be totally safe for them.
Yeah.
So I would respect that for sure.
So that sort of began the journey you're on now and are continuing?
Yes. It began the journey. And then, but what's funny about living in San Francisco is, even up in Seattle, I mean, that's a big city. It's fairly liberal, but I felt like I was pushing the envelope a lot. And in San Francisco, I'm, like, kind of conservative. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm a feminist, and somebody else is, like, a feminist plus one. I don't even know what the terms are. So I'm still on the journey, but I don't know. I feel like I'm not making as many waves as I felt like I was a few years ago when I lived in Seattle. And, you know, I'm not in seminary, like just absorbing all this information anymore. So I have a harder time engaging with it. So what I found that I've been writing about on my blog lately is mostly therapy. And obviously I don't write about my clients because that's confidential, but I do write about how I'm feeling about being a therapist and yeah, a lot about development and different developmental stages and a little bit about how theology works into that.
Right. But, you know, even though you're in San Francisco and you say you feel more conservative than the general climate there, your blog certainly is reaching out to people who aren't in such liberal centers, right? Like, for instance, I would be at the other end of the spectrum from San Francisco geographically and culturally and ideologically, all that. Like, I live in a very conservative area.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is good to remember. San Francisco feels kind of like a bubble that is very cut off from
everyone. Yeah, but see, that's the danger, though, right? You where you're living and writing, you're reaching out beyond that bubble, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like me, I'm living in a very conservative area, but I'm aware that, you know, people in San Francisco might be reading me or looking at my cartoons or whatever, but also people locally are looking at it, too. So there's a wide spectrum of readership and reactions to what you're doing. And
yes, and you get a lot. Oh my.
Yeah.
Every time you post on Facebook, I kind of, not every time, but I look through the comments sometimes. I'm like, there's every part of the spectrum represented in how people talk to you.
I know. It's kind of weird. So this feminism, theology, I you're obviously interested in transformation, how that's done. In your blog, you seem to indicate that you're very interested in helping people sort of deconstruct as well and move into healthier forms of spirituality. Is that true?
Yes.
No, maybe not.
Yes. But. Yes, it is. Deconstruct and move into healthier forms of kind of everything, like relationship, family. That's kind of what I do as a therapist, is invite people into deconstruction or reconstruction, kind of depending on where they are in their process.
Sure.
And sometimes spirituality makes it into that mix and sometimes not. But yeah, I would say I am interested in that process for sure.
The area in which you live, like, do you have friends who are sort of on the same page as you, or are they across the board as well?
On the same page in terms of?
Like theology, church, etc.
Yeah, I mean, the church that I go to is there. Yes. There are a lot of people on the same page. I preached at my church a couple months ago, which was a first for me.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was, you know. It was
There's fun. Women preachers?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, shut up. We're surprised, like Episcopalians. Like,
I know.
Everything preachers. So it was good. And interestingly, like, I did two services and afterwards, like, I wanted to bury my head in the sand. Like, I just felt this like fear and shame and I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And I think there was some unconscious like idea that I'm not supposed to speak my truths in a church like that, even though I've done a lot of work to give myself permission to do that. I was really interested in my own reaction being so fearful. Mm-hmm. But in the sermon, it was about the prodigal son, but I made an aside about how this is a story spoken by a man, Jesus, written down by a man, 2,000 years of being studied by men, commentaries written by men and preached by men. So like what it means for me to bring a woman's perspective. And I'm really angry that the woman's voice has come so late to this party.
Well, the only women in that story are prostitutes.
The prodigal. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. I didn't go there. So I had one lady say, like, that's what you should have preached on, even though that was just an aside I had made. So people are very much on the same page in my church. And then in the city of San Francisco, I don't run into many people who identify as Christian outside of my church.
Right.
And obviously there are churches around the city, but yeah, just going about my life and my, you know, colleagues who are therapists, I don't think any of them identify as Christians. So it's interesting to be in some ways in the minority, even though it's a majority religion in the country, you know.
You're a runner. I want to know what kind of passions you're into now. What really interests you right now, and books you're reading or whatever?
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I'm a slow runner. I wouldn't call it a passion, but I would call it necessary for just basic levels of sanity in my life.
That's the way I use it too. I run.
Yeah, I know. You've been getting up there in the miles.
Yeah, I reached 15K.
Jeez.
So nice. I want to do a half marathon by my birthday. So that's October.
Well, when's your birthday, David?
October.
Oh, if you want to go a month later, there is the Big Sur half marathon that Starfielder and I are doing.
I know. She's trying to talk me to go down there. I that would be a riot.
You would be welcome to stay in our guest room if you came down. Mm. So put that on the bulletin board for later.
Okay.
I forgot what question you just asked.
Yeah. What are your passions? What do you do with your life?
Oh, yeah.
How do you live?
God, I really love to sit on my couch and watch TV. I'm very passionate about doing that.
Oh, yeah? What's your favorite shows?
I'm not going there because they're really embarrassing. That's crossing the line. You just ended up in the line. You don't ask about what music I listen to or the shit I watch on TV.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's too embarrassing.
Okay.
But I don't actually. I love watching TV. I don't actually watch TV as much as I want. But I came up with a new term that at first, like, Jack and I giggled about it a lot, and now it's just part of our lexicon, and that's foodsturbating. That means I spread cookbooks and cooking magazines out, and I just look at recipes, and I think about food and what food I want to eat and what food I want to make. So
that's now, food porn.
Yeah, food porn, yeah. So when I say, I don't know what your evening plans are, honey, but I'm going to be at home foodsturbating, he knows what that's about.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's something I do. And really, like, being a early career therapist, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of passion. So I think a lot goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously writing is this huge passion that I have more passion than time. And then I'm always afraid of failing or doing it badly or people won't like me or all of that.
You're a writer for sure. You definitely have talent.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah. Is there a book on your horizon?
I would love for there to be. What book would you want to read that I wrote? I need suggestions.
I just like the way you write about, your own growing awareness. Like, the posts I've read where you're just honest about what you are experiencing and feeling and, you know, sitting in a church service and analyzing what happens there and then feminism and all those things. You just have a way of articulating where people are in a way that, you know, I haven't seen anywhere. It's engaging.
Okay. Thank you for saying that.
You don't have any ideas yourself?
No, it would be something along those lines. And probably if I did a book, it'd be probably a collection of essays, because I don't know how to write anything longer than 600 words or something.
Like, are you familiar with Anne Lamott?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes. I saw her speak. So she lives across the bridge in Marin County, California.
Okay.
Well, I saw her speak last month.
You know how her books are kind of essay-ish slash autobiography kind of stuff? I imagine you writing something like that.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I picture too. I just finished. I had a part-time job to help make some income while I do therapy thing. And I just finished it, and it was childcare. And oh my God, so I don't know if anybody's like still going to be listening 24 minutes into the interview, but if you are caring for children, oh my God, like, I was just exhausted and angry. And like, and if you know my writing, like, I think a lot about child development and I have all these like lofty things to say about how we should treat our children.
Yeah.
And holy shit, when the rubber met the road for me just in this job, and if you know from my blog, I'm also kind of in this big ambivalence about whether I want my own kids. So all that is to say, I really respect parents and people who are caring for children in a real concrete way and not just writing blog posts about.
I know. We raised three kids. They're all young adults now, but about a week ago, we were invited to a friend's house, and they have three young kids, and we were there for like an hour or something. I left exhausted and frustrated.
So, when your kids were little, did you and your wife, I don't know what I want to ask, but did you still manage to have a self, or did it just disappear for 10 years?
No, we did, yeah. Okay. But it's extremely hard work. It's a full-time job, like you say. It's 24/7, never lets up.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather raise little kids than teenagers again, though.
Oh, interesting.
Any day of the week.
Wow.
So what's in store for you today or the next day, or what's on your immediate agenda?
I have a couple clients today. I'm getting about 12 inches cut off my hair later today.
Whoa. Well,
God, now that I say that, I feel like I really have to do it. But
pictures.
Facebook. No, maybe. Yeah, they might appear on Facebook. Yeah, when I quit the job nannying, it felt like things are shifting in my life, and I'm not quite sure what yet, but my response is to cut off all my hair. And I don't really know how those go together, but I know they do. So
okay.
Cutting off all my hair. So that's
sort
my
of a Joan of Arc kind of thing.
Oh, God. That's epic. Yeah. Yeah, but I still might chicken out. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
What about you, David? What do you have going on?
I'm going to cook supper.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Roast. My wife is working night shift, so I'm sort of taking care of that end of things right now. And
are you a good cook?
I am.
Nice.
Yep.
How about we'll exchange lodging for the half marathon in November, exchange for dinner sometime.
Sure, absolutely. I grill a mean steak.
Oh, yes.
But I've never run with anybody else, ever. I've only run alone. It would be really interesting to run with some other people.
I'd be curious what it was like for you.
Friendlies. Yeah. Thanks a lot for talking with me today, Christine. I'm really looking forward to hearing what people have to say about you.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Anything really that you wanted to say?
Oh, God.
Anything that you had prepared to say and didn't get a chance to?
No, just that I'm really grateful the Lasting Supper's there. I don't know. I'm still trying to feel out what my participation can be with kind of this disparate elements of my life going on.
Yep.
But I'm very grateful for it, and I'm just really, really touched by people's stories and what they post and what they're willing to look into. Like, every time I read, I really see what a risk people are taking by being on the journey that they're on, and I just have a ton of respect for what you're doing, what everybody there is doing. So.
Yeah, I have a ton of respect for what's going on there too, and it's really special. And I've told you this before, but you shouldn't be afraid to exercise your natural talents. And you know, I say that to everybody who comes to the Lasting Supper: bring your skills, you know, and apply them. So, and your responses are what I've read are very wise, very helpful. So I really appreciate your participation there.
Okay, cool.
Good luck with your haircut.
Thanks, David. Have a good rest of your evening.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for talking. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Meet a Member. If you want to be interviewed for Meet a Member, just let me know and we'll get you on. Talk to you next time.